Back in the fall, we were looking at the book of Philippians, right? Going through it verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We took a break for the Christmas season. We're getting back to it today. This is a section of scripture about giving honor to other people. So let's warm up to this topic a little bit. Ready? Here's a little warm-up question. Maybe you've thought about this. Maybe you haven't. Who is worthy of your highest honor? Who would you give that to? Another way you could think about that question would be, who do you give your highest respect? We use the words honor and respect a bit interchangeably. It's not actually probably as interchangeable as we use it, but we typically think of them interchangeably. So I was walking on a beach in Florida this past week. I was asking myself this question that you see there on the screen. And, you know, walking on the beach when the wind is blowing, that's such a great spot to process out loud, because I was talking my thoughts out loud and the wind was blowing away all my bad ideas. It was great. And then all I had left was like the good stuff. So as I went through the process here, it dawned on me, before I can actually answer that question, I have to determine my criteria. Right? Will it be wealth? Right? Number of cars, number of houses? Would it be physical accomplishments that somebody has made? Maybe someone's intelligence and the number of degrees that they possess. Maybe someone's spiritual knowledge, their morality. Maybe someone's harmonious and healthy relationships. These are all potential ways that you could filter, give honor, or not give honor. And even as I was going through some of those criteria there, you were either agreeing or disagreeing with some of those that I gave, right? You're automatically filtering and clarifying, well, what's going to guide you to answer that question? Who am I going to give my highest honor? Now, for clarification, your highest honor is different than what I would describe as a basic level of respect. So, biblically, we should give everyone a basic level of respect. Because, first off, everyone is made by God. And secondly, because as they are made by God, they have intrinsic value. Because of that. And that makes everyone worthy of us giving everybody some level of basic respect. That's not what we're talking about from this passage of scripture today. What we're talking about is, well, who gets the highest honor? And those are different things. Basic respect is different than highest honor. So that's what we're going to look at today. Hey, let's pray together as we get ready to look at God's word. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray. So, Jesus, we long to hear from you. We long to know the truth of your word. We want to conform our lives to your truth. We want your Holy Spirit to speak to us so that, like, the truth and the clarity of your word is just bright and shining. And then we want the application of this to be just really, really clear in our hearts and our minds. We ask, Lord, that that would happen right now for your glory. And for our benefit and our welfare. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, get out your Bibles if you would. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to start reading in verse 19. And here's my goal today. This is really my job. You might have various ideas about what my job is. Let me tell you a big, big, big part of my job is to explain and teach God's word in such a way that when you walk out of here, you're like, oh, I know what those verses of scripture are about. And then you're inspired in some new, fresh way to live the truth of God's word. I love these verses. I've loved all of Philippians chapter 2. I got to just personal expression here for a second. I have been so deeply touched and blessed by what we've read in the early parts of Philippians chapter 2. This section we're going to look at today is often not skipped over per se, but it doesn't often get as much as much attention as the earlier parts. And man, this is just such a rich, awesome section of scripture. I'm so excited. You guys ready? Dive into this. You ready to dive into this? I mean, look, you came out today. You might as well, like, get your money's worth here, you know? All right, let's go. Here we go. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him, and that I may be less anxious. So, receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Is the word of the Lord. And so what we see here in that last little section, we see where this concept of the honor comes from. He says, not only should you honor Epaphroditus, you should honor men like him. And so I'm going to attack this here with three questions today. What are the criteria for the highest level of honor? Why do these criteria deserve honor? And then, well, what is honoring that people like that look like? Right? So three questions. First question here. What are the criteria for the highest level of honor and or respect that we would give a person? This passage shows us five criteria qualities. I've put them in an acrostic because it just seemed to work. There you go. Honor. Be helpful to others. Be others focused. Not regarding your life. I had to get creative with the O. O words are hard, so I had to put the little number. Number one is God in their life, and then the last one is resilience. These are five qualities that we see from these verses of both Timothy and Epaphroditus that deserve our highest honor. Let's look at them one at a time. First off, being helpful to others. So verse 22, it says, Timothy served with Paul in the gospel. In verse 25, we see that Epaphroditus was Paul's brother in Christ. He was a fellow worker, a fellow soldier, and a messenger for the Philippian church. So both Timothy and Epaphroditus were helpful to others. They were living what it says back earlier in the chapter in verses 3 and 4, to do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. If you're living that way, you are focused on being helpful to yourself. But then it goes on, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Well, so here it is. That is being helpful to other people, right? It's first a mindset and then it's an action. So this is the action. Verse 4, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So it's thinking and action. So Timothy and Epaphroditus were thinking something like, well, how can I be helpful? Then there's an action. Well, I could pray while Paul's preaching and teaching and discipling. I could tell people about Jesus. I could set some things up. I can help. Helpful to others. For our Christmas Eve worship services, we provided 500 watch party bags so that people could take the bags and from the safety of their home, watch our online service. We put candles in there, some candy and some cocoa and things like that. And we had about 1,000 people using those bags, watching our Christmas Eve services online. Three people named Dree, Lainey, and Melissa on our staff were helpful to others because they came up with the idea, shopped for the supplies, assembled those bags. They said, oh, I can help. Helpful to others. And that deserves to be honored. second honorable quality here is that they were others-focused. So let me show you verse 20. It says, Timothy is genuinely concerned for other people's welfare. It's interesting in verse 21, although no names are given, it appears that he's saying that there are other Christian leaders who are not actually as concerned for others. But Timothy is. He's genuinely concerned. And then if you go down to verse 26, it describes the same quality in Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus is longing to be with his friends back in Philippi, in the Philippi church. He is distressed because they heard that he nearly died, and they are burdened and pained about that. And their burden and pain is Epaphroditus's burden and pain. See, both Timothy and Epaphroditus here, they are living with high awareness of and concern for other people. So while the first one, helpful to others, is the action, others focused, the second one here, is the mindset. See, when you're truly others focused, nobody has to tell you about the needs of others. You just see them, right? You pay attention and you see the look of tiredness in your family member's eyes. You see it. You see the stress of the financial burdens that they're going through, right? It's, you just see it and you sense it. You see and you sense that just the despair that they are experiencing as they're facing some type of a mountain, right? And you don't just see it. You're genuinely concerned. Their hardship burdens you. This is the other-focused mindset, right? This is the second kind of a life that deserves to be honored. Here's a third one. Get down to the N, which means not regarding your own life. So verse 30, this is specifically referring to Epaphroditus. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life. That phrase, risking his life, literally means that he gambled his life. Gambling, you know, it's... I guess by definition is the way it's used here. It means to you either throw it aside or you just throw it down like a gambler. This was literally a word that they would have used in their time to describe a person gambling money in some type of a bet. And the gambler would throw down their money, exposing their money to great danger. And the great danger is you could lose your money. So for Epaphroditus, he was gambling his life. He was gambling that his life was worth the risk because he was seeking a bigger payoff. So what was that payoff? What was he risking his life for? It doesn't actually tell us a specific thing, but if you look in verse 25, he's described as a fellow worker with Paul, a soldier with him in the ministry of the gospel. We also see in that verse that he was a messenger for the church in Philippi, and I would put those together trying to discern an answer to this. What was the big payoff? Eternal lives change. Eternal life change, right? That's what he was working for. He was seeking, and he was willing to literally gamble his life for eternal life change. So just a little background here on Epaphroditus. He's from the city and the church that's in Philippi. That church was one of Paul's favorites. He loved them. They loved the love was both ways. They heard about Paul being in prison in Rome. They took up a collection, and they needed that collection to be taken to Paul in Rome. Epaphroditus was the courier. He took the money. The journey from Philippi to Rome is about 800 miles. At that time, it would have taken about 6 weeks to make that journey. Taking that journey was a gamble because it's very dangerous to travel 6 weeks at that time and in that era with a bag full of money. It's an easy rob. He got sick and nearly died. He either got sick and nearly died on the journey, or maybe that happened in Rome after he'd gotten to Paul and he was doing some ministry in the city. Either way, he nearly died. But look, protecting his life wasn't his highest priority. He was willing to gamble his life, in fact, for something that he determined was more important, eternal life change. You know, this reminds me of a conversation that the elders had back in December. If you'll remember, back in early December, the state of Colorado was at code red. So the message from all of the kind of the leaders in the state was isolate for safety. Everybody stay home. We need to stop the spread of the virus. So that was the climate when the elders were asked, would they be willing to lay hands and pray for someone to be healed? That's something we commonly do. We're instructed to do it from James chapter 5. We often will do it at the end of some worship services once a month. All of that's kind of been on pause lately. So the question and request came in, hey, would the elders be willing to do this? Every one of your elders without hesitation said, of course, I will do that. The sentiment was, if I catch COVID and die because I prayed for somebody, that's a gamble I will make. You know what? That kind of a life deserves to be honored. That's the third. Here's the fourth. The fourth honorable quality is that their number one is God. I think it's obvious in the life of both Timothy and Epaphroditus here that they were living with God as their number one priority. I mean, you just read through these verses and their thoughts and their actions clearly show God's their number one. They're like Matthew 6:33 tells us. They're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And look, all of these things are going to be added to you. So look, they had a choice in their days just like we have choices in our days, right? Will I seek personal comfort or will I gamble personal comfort? Well, you know the answer. We just looked at it. Of course they gambled their personal comfort because God was their number one. Right? Will I seek to control all of my circumstances in my day, or will I just love people? Well, of course they chose to love people because they were putting God first. They loved what God loved, they valued what God valued, and they were repelled by what God hates because God was their number one. A life like that deserves to be honored. Here's the fifth quality of an honorable life, resilience. Look in verse 22. It says that Timothy was proven worthy. He proved himself. That means that over time, he showed consistency. I call that resilience. See, resilience is how you see the inner character of a person. Right? You can see me in this moment, right? It's easy. I can see you. You can see me. You can see what I do in this moment. But what happens when challenges, roadblocks, hardship, disappointment, what happens when those things happen over the course of time? It's in those situations that our character begins to reveal itself. And resilience is seen when you just keep going. You do the right thing, right? When nobody's watching, do you behave the same way as when people are watching? Is your private life consistent with your public image? See, resilience and character go together. And see, the cultures of this world, all the cultures of this world, they emphasize the external, right? The external performance and the external sort of facades that we put on. They not the inner character. And God values faithfulness in the ordinary, displayed through resilience. It's a common attitude that people will be They'll be good starters is what they'll say. Well, they're a good starter, but they're maybe not the best finisher. That's why a lot of men have untold numbers of tools in their garage. They were very inspired to get started. They went and bought some new tools. And then at some point along the way, it was easier just to hire somebody to come and finish the job. That's the way it is in my life anyway, in my garage. Look, not Timothy and not Epaphroditus. They were resilient. I heard it said this way, the important things in life have a price tag. They will cost us something. And when the cost is being charged, our resilience is being tested. And a person who's willing to live with resilience in life is worthy of honor. All right, so if you want to be somebody who's considered highly honorable, these are five of the qualities that would make God's list. And while we can all admit and acknowledge, okay, there's a basic level of respect that I'm going to give to everybody because of what God says about everybody, there's also the highest honor that I will give to others who display certain qualities in their life, right? That's what we've seen so far. Now, most people would recognize that the qualities we've looked at so far are honorable, but just real quickly here, why? Why are these honorable qualities? Well, the simple, quick answer is, well, because these are some of the qualities that Jesus Christ possessed. Let's just go back through the acrostic real quick. Helpful to others. Well, of course Jesus was helpful to others. 100% of his life was to come here and be helpful. Others focused. Yes, obviously he was others focused. If you even look back to verse 7, it says that he took the form of a servant so that he could be and display how others focused he was. Not regarding his life. Jesus literally came to die for us. Of course he did not. He risked his life for us. Number one is God. Well, yeah, he lived every minute of his days to glorify God the Father. And then resilient. Was Jesus resilient? Yes. He never backed down. He constantly showed consistency in his character through his actions to do the hard things, even when it was easy. It would have been the easier road to take another path. And because Jesus lived this way, look at what it says about Jesus in verses 9 through 11. Look at how he deserves the highest honor. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that's above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus deserves the highest honor of everyone from eternity past to the eternity future. So look, it's a logical deduction that anyone who then possesses some of the qualities of Jesus Christ deserves high honor as well. Okay, so look, everybody with me? Everybody understanding kind of like what honor, what an honorable life would look like? Everybody with me, you understand that? Because what I'm going to show you now is, well, what does it then look like to give honor to someone like this? The answer is in verse 29. I'm so excited. This is my favorite part of the whole sermon. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you drifted off, get back in it right now. This is it right here, okay? Right? If you're taking a break and making some breakfast, get back in front of the TV right now. Here we go. Verse 29. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. Let's camp out here in this verse for a second. I'm going to explain to you some phrases in this verse that are going to expand your understanding of what this phrase means. This is awesome. Receive with all joy means you are actively happy. You are, another way that this is explained is that you are receiving this person with active happiness like a host with open arms. Isn't that a great image? Because we all want to be hosted with open arms. The next word that's important in this phrase, in this verse here is honor. Honor means you hold something as either highly valued or precious. The Greek word that's used, that's translated honor there, is actually translated into the English as precious in some other places in the New Testament, right? So you're receiving people who demonstrate these qualities that we've been looking at with active happiness, with open arms, as they are a precious person. So let me illustrate this. Let me help you get this image in your mind by describing how you might be hosted over the Christmas season, right? So you arrive at your relative's house, it's Christmas time, and your host is not sitting on the couch watching a game or a show, kind of just giving you a wave. Your host doesn't tell you, hey, we've been kind of busy, so just order some takeout for dinner tonight. Your host doesn't say, hey, you know the deal at my house. Everybody kind of fends for themselves, so good luck. Right? No way. That is not what this verse is saying at all. Instead, verse 29 is saying that as the host who's going to now show the highest honor, you are greeted at the front door with this huge smile and a big hug. Your host has prepared your favorite meal, stocked the fridge with all your favorite drinks. Your host is attentive to your needs. Like, it's been a long travel day. Hey, do you need to have a little like rest time before we kind of engage and stuff? They've bought you a new mattress on the guest bed. How about that? Your host can't wait to sit down with you and hear all about your life, because you are precious to them. And you feel it. Your host can't wait to take you out to your favorite activity. They've planned it. They made a reservation on the golf course. They got a tee time for you. Or maybe that's not your thing, right? They made a reservation at your favorite restaurant. Or maybe it's not COVID time. Just imagine, and what they've done is they've invited all of your local friends over for a dinner and a night of games and conversation. All because you are precious to them and they are honoring you by being thoughtful and showering you with their love, and you feel it. This is what receiving with all joy and treating someone with the highest honor could look like. Isn't that awesome? So the big question, really the big application for us today is this. Are you withholding honor, or are you giving honor? I have a number of ways that we can kind of look at that same concept as we circle that. Are you actively receiving honorable people with an open arms type of an attitude, or are you passively experiencing their presence? Another way you can kind of approach this, do the honorable people in your life feel like you're treating them as someone precious or someone ordinary? Here's the last one I'll give you here. Are you lavish or budgeting your hospitality toward honorable people? I like this one a lot, lavishing or budgeting. See, lavishing means that the other person will think or say at some point, man, like, you didn't have to do that. Like, you've gone too far. Like, you're being too generous. You're being too thoughtful. And they're probably even a little uncomfortable. Like, wow, like, I didn't think I was that special. See, budgeting means that you've probably given enough to get by, right? You put a roof over their head, right? There's AC and heat working, and there's some food around, right? You've done your duty to show some level of honor, but you probably didn't hear back, wow, like you're going too far, right? You didn't say, nobody said that, because you gave enough to get by. Look, Christians, like brothers and sisters in Christ, the church of Jesus Christ is meant to lavish honor upon people who deserve it. It's who we are because God treats us this way. It's expected of us because God lavished grace and forgiveness on us when we didn't even deserve it. See, he went to the furthest, and he's saying, well, you can at least do this much, guys, right? God, like, he lavished us with grace and forgiveness when we were his enemies, when we were dead in our sins, when we were vile in his sight, when we deserved his wrath. God lavished grace and forgiveness upon us. This is why we celebrate amazing grace. It's spectacular to be on the receiving end of God's lavishness. And this is why God expects us, his church, his children, to lavish honor on brothers and sisters. See, God is extravagant and he wants us to be extravagant. God is expressive in his love and his generosity and his goodness. He expects his children to be expressive in honoring one another. God is thoughtful as he looks to our needs and serves us and provides for us. And of course he expects his church, his children, to be thoughtful as we give honor to those in the church who deserve it. So what would it involve for you to be a person who dishes out lavish amounts of honor? What would that look like? That gets me excited just thinking about it, honestly. What would that look like to be a person who's known for lavishing honor on other people? I think the teaching from these verses, which is so great, honestly, it doesn't get a lot of attention, these verses. But they are powerful, powerful verses. The church of Jesus Christ, we are meant to be known in this world by many things. I don't think lavishing honor on one another is one of the qualities that is commonly known of as the church. But wouldn't that be amazing if Foothills Bible Church was known for lavishing honor on people that deserved it? That would be amazing. Just imagine how that would change people's lives. That's what we're called to do, guys. I say let's do it together. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray together. So Jesus, first and foremost, the only reason we're able to even have this approach is that we've been redeemed. We've been saved by the blood of Christ. We're so grateful for that. We owe everything to you. We owe our thoughts, our actions, our motivations. We owe it all to you. And so as we ponder how we can live out the truth of your word, I ask you, Holy Spirit, please show us specifically how can we become people who lavishly pour honor on others. I would ask, Holy Spirit, that you would even bring names and faces to people right now who we have been blessed by. And we say, oh, that is an honorable person. Lord, how can we express that with receiving and with all joy and that openness of honor to them, Lord? We want to be those people because we know it gives you honor and it gives you glory when we act that way. Thank you, Jesus. Lead us and guide us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.